This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. The August power outage that left people in 8 states and part of Canada without electricity could have been prevented. Investigators conclude that a utility company and a grid monitoring organization in Ohio failed to follow recommended operating procedures. The findings, released yesterday, place blame for the massive blackout squarely on First Energy Corporation and on MISO, the Midwest Independent System Operator. NPR's David Kestenbaum explains.
The report paints an unflattering picture of both MISO and First Energy, though it acknowledges that some events were beyond their control. In the course of about an hour, on the afternoon of August 14th, 3 power lines owned by First Energy sagged too close to trees and shorted out. Things might have been salvaged at this point, but First Energy did not immediately realize the lines were down. Energy Secretary Spencer Abraham discussed the report at a press conference.
The report tells us that First Energy's control room alarm system wasn't working properly, and the control room operators were unaware it was not working properly, which meant that they were also unaware that the transmission lines had gone down.
The North American Electric Reliability Council has long specified operating standards. The idea is to keep events like this from spiraling out of control. But compliance is voluntary, and Abraham says in this case, some of the recommendations were not followed.
The Electric System Working Group has concluded that at least 4 reliability standards were not observed by First Energy on August 14th, and 2 were not followed by MISO. These failures helped create a problem of such magnitude as to be insurmountable.
The report sums up the violations on 2 pages. Violation 1, First Energy did not shore up the system within 30 minutes. Violation 2, First Energy did not notify other systems of the problems it was having. Violation 3, First Energy did not use computer models to assess the system. Violation 4, First Energy's operator training was inadequate. The report faults MISO, the organization that watches over the grid, for not spreading the word and for lacking the computer tools and data to respond to the problem. Abraham said, that's not all.
The report identifies other factors that contributed to the conditions that led to the blackout, including poor communications, human error, mechanical breakdowns, software glitches, and insufficient attention to things ranging from the performance of sophisticated computer modeling systems to simple tree trimming.
The finger-pointing in the report will come as a surprise to some engineers. After the outage, many engineers said the massive blackout was probably a kind of freak storm, an unfortunate sequence of events. MISO, for its part, says it is now improving its monitoring and communication system, but First Energy Corporation says the report does not go deep enough. Kristen Baird is a spokesperson for the company.
Even with the events that occurred on our system, we remain convinced that they do not explain the magnitude of this outage. We feel very strongly that the task force should take a look at underlying conditions that existed on the grid that day that we and a number of industry experts believe could have been contributing factors.
Baird says First Energy Corporation trims its trees on a 5-year cycle, which is standard. She also said the company shouldn't be faulted for not notifying others of problems when they didn't know about them in the first place because of a broken alarm system.
It certainly was not intentional. You know, it's difficult to address immediately a problem when you're not aware of it.
The final report is due out early next year after a public comment period, so First Energy and other utilities will have a chance to register their views. At the press conference, Energy Secretary Abraham was asked again and again, what punishment would there be for First Energy and MISO? Abraham answered that right now there is no penalty for failing to comply with operating standards. Abraham's counterpart from Canada, Herb Dhaliwal, took the opportunity to plug the energy bill now before the U.S. Senate. It contains a provision to make those standards mandatory. David Kestenbaum, NPR News, Washington.